It's good to be here this morning.
Amen.
Sure am thankful that he loved me still. Why don't we go to the book of Ruth? Book of Ruth, thank you. I came honestly with another message to preach, but I believe this is what the Lord would want us to do. Book of Ruth, chapter number 3. I don't think I have to lay much of a foundation for the book of Ruth for this crowd, amen, on a Thursday morning. But we understand that Ruth is the unworthy one, amen. And she's the one that had the problems. She's the one that had the past. She's the one that had all the things that were really should have turned Boaz off to her and really should have been the things of her life, the things of her past, the things that she had done, the places that she had been. Boaz really should not have had anything to do with her. But we find in chapter number 3 that he does have something to do with her. And we find that there's a one in Naomi, and you know that story of she's already a part of the kindred. And she is bringing Ruth along and trying to introduce Ruth to Boaz. We understand that in the book of Ruth that Boaz is a picture of our Savior. He's a picture in the book of Ruth of our blessed Redeemer. And so I want you to just look in chapter number 3. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word, and we're just going to read just a few verses, and hopefully the Lord will use this. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Let me say, first of all, when you find Jesus, there is rest. Doesn't matter what else is going on in the world, there's rest when you find Jesus. The Bible says, "And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." She said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me I will do." And she went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. She came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" She said, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown me more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman. Well, let him do to the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." I want you to notice verse 14. "And she lay at his feet until the morning." Let's pray, and then we'll get in the message. Dear Heavenly Father, sure love you, and thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for the good singing we've already heard. God, thank you for the good preaching that we've heard. Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. We need you in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm interested in this phrase in verse 14, "as she lay at his feet until the morning." Now understand this, in the morning, we understand what is going to happen. He is going to pay the price for her. We understand that. But also, we have to understand this, that in the morning also pictures there's going to be a wedding supper. And there's going to be a reunion that's going to take place. And we understand that that wedding supper is a picture of what's going to happen one of these days when we meet our Savior. And we understand that our Savior that died on the old rugged cross and shed His blood for us and paid the ultimate price for us, we're going to meet Him in the air one of these days. We're going to spend eternity with Him. But the question this morning is this: what are we doing in the meantime? What are we doing in the meantime? We find in this portion of Scripture that, yes, the next chapter there's going to be a wedding. And yes, the next chapter there's going to be a great reunion. And in the next chapter that they are going to be joined together forever and forever. But in this chapter, we find that Ruth has decided to go and lay at his feet. So let me ask you this question. How much time have you spent at his feet? We get very busy in this life, and we get very, a lot of times too busy. Somebody say amen. Somebody asked me this morning, has it been busy? And it has been busy. And it feels like you just go and you go and you go and you go to meetings and you preach this and you counsel over here and you do this and that, and everything is so busy. But have you spent time at his feet? We find many different people in the New Testament spent time at his feet. The maniac in Mark chapter number 5 fell at his feet as a witness of what Jesus had done in his life. We find that Mary worshiped at his feet when Martha is busy and cumbersome, but Mary is there at his feet and Jesus says she has chosen the good part. We find over and over again, we find the alabaster box and what she sung about, and she was at his feet. We find that Jairus went to his feet. He was wounded and he was hurt, and he fell down at his feet and said, "Could you help me?" We find Mary fell at his feet another time. She was wounded, wasn't she? Her brother had died. She fell at his feet. We find work at his feet. We find the wounded at his feet. We find worship at his feet. So what are you doing in the meantime? Look, I'm as excited about as anybody that the trumpet's about to sound. I mean, I'm excited about it. I can't hardly be quiet about it. Amen. I like the fact that my Lord is coming back. I like the fact that my Savior's coming back. I like the fact that my Redeemer's coming back. I like the fact that my Boaz is coming back. He's coming back for me. I am His and He is mine. And I'm thankful for the fact that I'm going to live with Him forever and forever. But what are we doing in the meantime? I'm convinced that our churches are a mess today because nobody's spending time at His feet. I mean, we're doing everything else. We've got the programs. We've got the music. We've got the outlines. We've got the good stories. We can make people laugh and the next minute make them cry. Amen? We've got all those things figured out. But are we spending time at His feet? If you'll turn over with me to the last verse of this chapter, you'll find something interesting that I've read Ruth many different times. I've never noticed this before. You probably have. But in verse 18, it says, "Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day." Boy, I like that word "finished," don't you? See, the word "finished" was used in John chapter 19 when Jesus said, "It is finished." He wasn't talking about himself. He wasn't talking about the fact that his life was finished. He wasn't talking about how the work on earth was finished. No. He wasn't talking about any of those things. What he was talking about is the payment was made. It was finished. But we also know this, that one of these days, he's going to call us home. It's going to be finished. But until then, let me just say this, he's still working on me. And he's still working on you. And he's still working on the church. He's still working on the bride. He's still working. He's still moving. He's still saving. He's still going through this thing. And every now and then, I preached about it last night, every now and then, the breath of God comes through the church house. And he's still doing things. And he's not stopped working. And when he's finished, he'll come. But what are you doing until then? Are you spending time at his feet? I want you to look at just a few things this morning. Go up with me. This is what the prerequisites of going to his feet were. And that's what I want to preach about just for a few minutes. See, I think one of the reasons we're not going to his feet is because really we're not ready. We're not very prepared. Listen, one of the reasons we're a little nervous about going to his feet, we're afraid to hear what he has to say. Can I just make this statement? We're not a very holy people. Now look, I don't know you and you don't know me. But I know about the church. We're not a very holy people. No longer are we a very separated people. No longer is his bride different than the rest of the world. No longer is his people different. And I'm afraid that one of these days, when his work is finished and he calls us home, I'm afraid when he looks at the church and when he looks at who we are, when he looks at the things that we're doing, and when he looks at how dirty we are and how filthy we are and how wicked we are, he's not going to be real happy with what he finds. Now look, I know this camp meeting and not going to get a lot of amens with this. It's okay. I'm okay with that. But the bottom line is, from the pulpit to the back pews, we're not very holy. We're pretty fleshly. We're pretty carnal. Look up with me in verse number 3. Naomi said, now look, I want you to go down there and lay at his feet. I want you to spend time with Boaz. And we ought to. But this is what she said. First thing, wash thyself. Wouldn't it be good for God's people to wash yourself? Get cleaned up every now and then? Wouldn't it be good that it wasn't all glory all the time, but it was every now and then, hey, why don't you just live holy and live clean and live pure? And every now and then, wouldn't it be good that we come to the altar and just not just pour our petitions out to God, but pour it out that, hey, I'm wicked and unworthy and I'm defiled and I'm a mess and God, please clean me up. But listen, we have gotten so above all that. I mean, look. Let's just be honest, and I'm talking about myself. We go to camp meeting to camp meeting, don't we? And we're above it. We got to figure it out. Preacher mentioned a while ago, but look, do we not? We go to camp meeting, and we're gossip. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen. By the way, that's still sin. We do things, and we go places. We look at things. We put things in our ears. Things go to our heart. They're so wicked. So unholy. No wonder we're not spending time at his feet. Why would we want to be around Boaz when we've not washed ourselves? I was going to preach a message from Galatians chapter 5 about little leaven leaveth the whole lump. Lord changed my mind on that, but I will give you this bit of illustration. Many of you remember this. In 1986, the Challenger fell. You remember that? And you'll remember that the problem was the O-rings. Everybody remember that? But NASA coined a phrase during that time. And the phrase was this: normalizing deviation. See, what happened was, is they knew the O-rings were bad. They knew there was a problem. But they normalized deviation. They basically said this, this is just normal wear and tear. I mean, it's like, you know, you go out and you buy a new vehicle and a few weeks down the road you hear a squeak. And you're like, well, I mean, it's just normal wear and tear. But it's not really normal. I mean, if you wanted to go to the steps to fix it, you'd fix it. Is that right? And I'm finding in our churches that we have normalized deviation. We have normalized this thing of sin. It's just a little bit off. It's just a little bit wrong. It's just, our music's just a little bit off. Our worship's just a little bit off. Our standards are just a little bit off. Our separation is just a little bit off. And we're just saying, well, it's just normal wear and tear. I mean, good grief, it's 2023. I mean, you can't get people in the house of God unless you move it just a little bit. But I'm telling you, friend, we're about to meet our Savior. We're about to meet our Boaz. We're about to meet the lovely Lamb of God, and I'm telling you, friend, we're not very cleaned up. Naomi said, hey, you're going to go down there and lay at his feet. You might want to clean yourself. And I'm telling you right now, I think our Savior is a little bit tired of smelling the stink of his bride. We're smelling too much like the world. We're smelling too much like carnality. Look, I'm afraid. The reason we're not going to his feet, because we know we stink. I got a little boy, he's about to turn 12. Somebody say amen to stinking 12-year-old boys. It's amazing. It's amazing how somewhere in that 10, 11, 12-year-old, they hate showers. It's unbelievable. It's really, it blows my mind. I mean, I'm sure I was that way at one point, but it's crazy. But you know what he doesn't like to do? When he gets out of the shower, and his mama will time him, you know, you wasn't in there long enough, go back. But you know what he'll do when he gets out? He won't come around me or his mama. Because he knows we're going to have the smell test. Hey, let me smell your hair. Why do you still smell like baseball field? Right? Let me smell you. Why do you still smell like outside? But one of these days, we're going to meet him in the air. And I wonder, you going to pass the smell test? Well, it's not that big of a deal. Every church is that way. Every Christian's that way. It's not that big of a deal. It's just normalizing deviation. You know what the sad part is? That fix on those O-rings was about a $50,000, $100,000 fix. They spent $3.2 billion in restitution. Are you listening to me? It's not worth the price. Get cleaned up. Notice number two. This is what Naomi said. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee. You know what she's saying? It matters that you're clean on the inside, but it also matters that you're clean on the outside. It matters that you look the part. Now, we got two different ways our churches are going today. We got one way, Brother Andrew, where the inside's okay. You know, we're trying to clean up the inside, but we just let the outside go. That's not right. Then we got another way, and we come in with our suits on, and we come with our King James Bible under our arm, and praise God for all those things, and we've got the songs right, and we got all those things right, but the inside's not right. It's amazing. We do our church, we have our morning services, and then we have lunch every Sunday, and then we have an afternoon service. Now, don't criticize me. That's the way we do it. We like to eat. Amen. So at our church, all of our kids, as soon as we get done eating, they get all their food down. They know service is going to start at 1:30. And so they'll go outside and play wiffle ball or football or whatever. And it's amazing. Gavin's little baseball team, we've been having about four or five of those little boys come to church every Sunday. And they'll go out there and they'll be playing in the yard. And then they'll come in for the afternoon service. And they sit like right here. I was going to say right here, but I didn't want to pick on you. Right here. And I'll be up here preaching in the afternoon, and then I'll be up. Whew. There's like a... I mean, it's terrible. I mean, it's almost like a cloud coming up. Now, look. What they'll do is... Preacher, what they'll do is they'll take, you know, their suits off and their ties off. Now I have t-shirts on. Gavin does it every Sunday. He'll wear a t-shirt up under his dress clothes so he can be like Superman and bust out of that thing, go out there and play, you know, whatever. And so they'll do that. But then when they come in, they'll just put it right back on over top. And see, they look the part on the outside. But on the inside, it's a mess. And I want you to understand me very clearly. I for being clean both ways. I think we ought to be clean on the outside. I think we ought to change our raiment. I think we ought to be a separated people. I think our music ought to be different. I think our preaching ought to be different. I think our worship ought to be different. I think our dress ought to be different. I think everything we do on the outside ought to be different from the rest of this world and the liberal crowd of today. But let me tell you, I think our inside ought to be different too. And then I find, she says, get cleaned up. Get clothed. Boy, it'd be good if Baptist Church would just get clothed. I mean, I'm so sick and tired of preaching in meetings and going, and thank God for this place. Amen. And you got to not look certain places. It's pitiful. And by the way, thank God that I can be comfortable bringing my family to meetings like this. I go to meetings sometimes, I won't bring my family because I don't know what the music's going to be like. I don't know what the outside's going to be like. Is that right? And I'm sick of that. Just because it's an independent Baptist meeting don't mean it's always right. It says, clean yourself, clothe yourself. Then you ought to have some consideration. I'm going to close with this, but I want you to look in verse number 4. This is what I really want to get to. The Bible says, and it shall be when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Now, I preached through the book of Ruth for the last 3 months at our church. And so I'm not going to preach all 3 months worth right here. But I do think, I never realized or looked at this verse, I don't think, in the right way. Naomi says to Ruth, I want you to go down and mark the place where he's going to lie. Where he's going to be. Now, we read that and we think, what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. Because Boaz is going to come in, the Bible says, at midnight when it's dark, when it's scary, when it's hard to find him. We're living in a dark time, a scary time. And Naomi said, Ruth, I want you to go down there and mark where he's going to be. Right now while it's day. Because it's going to get darker. And let me say this, that maybe you're on a mountaintop right now. You better mark where he's at. And you better know where Jesus is at. You better know where your Savior's at. And you better know where his feet's at. And you better know what it is to snuggle up to his feet and get with Jesus. And you better know what it is to open God's Word up and read God's Word and pray and walk with God. And you better know what it is during daytime, because night's coming and it's going to get dark and it's going to get scary and everything's fixing to fall apart and we're going to be in valleys and you're going to need him then. And you might want to consider right now where he's at. I'm talking about the camp meeting. When everything's good. When everything seems to be going well. I'm talking about the camp meeting when everybody's shouting about everything. When everybody's singing those songs. And when everybody's liking the preaching. And when everybody's fellowshipping. And when everybody is friends. And you understand at the camp meeting, you better mark the place. You may go home and it gets dark. You better know what it is to snuggle up to his feet. Your Boaz. Your Savior. Your Redeemer. She sung that song a while ago. It made me think about this story. Ruth didn't deserve to be able to go to his feet. Ruth was unworthy. Ruth had a past. Ruth was nothing more than just a servant girl. A nobody. But we find in the next chapter that the payment was made. I love that next chapter when Boaz makes the payment Now, I think I got 5 minutes. Go over here with me. I want us to look at this. This will help us. Go to that last chapter. I like this part because we get confused. We get confused because there's another one that's closer. But notice what the one that's closer says. I like this. Verse 6, it says, chapter 4 and verse 6, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Only one could redeem it. He was just saying what was already needed to be said. See, he couldn't redeem because of his fleshly things, his own inheritance. And nobody else could redeem you because of their flesh, because of who they were, because of their inheritance. But there was one in Boaz that could redeem her, could pay the price. Then all of a sudden, that old shoe was taken off. Don't you think every single time that Ruth would think about laying at his feet one more time, and every single time she would think about the price that was paid in chapter number 4, she thought, how unworthy I am. How unholy I was. But oh, thank God for Boaz. And now I get to spend time with Boaz. And now I get to snuggle up to Boaz. And now I get to talk to Boaz. And can I say, church, that yes, I understand who we used to be, but that's not who we are anymore. And we ought to get cleaned up, and we ought to serve Jesus, and we ought to be looking forward to those that time when the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to meet our Savior in the air. What are you doing in the meantime? You spend any time at his feet? Every head bowed, every eye closed, the preacher's asking me to give an invitation. How about you? You spend much time at his feet lately? Maybe it's because you're not clean. And by the way, we ought to be embarrassed to get in His presence unclean. We ought to be embarrassed. We ought to be ashamed. But that shouldn't stop us from getting cleaned up and spending time at the precious Savior's feet. Maybe outside looks good, but the inside, boy, it's a mess. You say, preacher, everything's going good for me right now. Oh, you better mark the place where he's at. It's getting dark. Maybe it's been a while since you went to his feet. You've just been busy like Martha. Been going and going and going. But Mary chose the good part. Just worshiping at his feet. What a Savior we have. That's our Boaz. That's our Redeemer. Oh, there's a mighty price that was paid for us. He spent time at his feet. What are you doing in the meantime? I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to one of these days when we see our Redeemer face to face. But you can spend time at his feet in the meantime. Every time I open the precious Word of God up, from Genesis to Revelation, it points to Jesus. I can just spend time at his feet. I can pour my petitions out to my Boaz. Just spend time at his feet. I can go to him and he already knows my past. He already knows who I was. He already knows what this Ruth was. But he says, just come on, cast all your care upon me. Because I care for you. Maybe you got burdens this morning. Why don't you bring him to Boaz? Bring him to his feet. Just spend time with him. Maybe you hadn't worshipped him. Just come to him and said, I don't need anything else. I just want to tell you how good you are to me. He's worthy. He's worthy.